God's words tell us clearly that there is pain, there is heartbreak in this world. We should not be surprised. More often than not, God chooses not to save his people, chooses not to spare them sorrow and hardship. Hebrews 11 gives a long list of those who were killed or lost ones they loved. Jesus' closest friends died martyrs' deaths. Even his earthly father died without his intervention. I have pondered long and hard this question of what I believe about God in the midst of "it wasn't supposed to be like this." Here is my conclusion. I know my God, his character, well enough to trust him when I don't understand, when I cannot see in the darkness. I know, from what he has said about himself and from what I have seen, that he is always good and always love. I know that if we only knew the reasons, we would adore him for what he does. God promises that we will have trouble in this world. He also promises that if we are grateful to him, he will give us peace. He doesn't promise that he will take the pain away, but that we will be at peace, that we will have joy. Isn't that a much bigger promise? No matter what, God is still God. Will I only praise and thank him when he does what I like? Will I only accept from him what I deem to be good? When I deeply think through the idea of declaring my circumstance to be bad, it seems incredibly arrogant. How can I think that I know better than God what is good? How am I more capable of naming something to be good than the one who is good? Will I trust that God has a beautiful, amazing plan only when I can see the beauty of it? Either God is God and capable of having plans and reasons that I cannot comprehend, or he isn't God and I'm silly for blaming a myth. There's not really any in-between place for the things with which I do not agree. Timothy Keller says, quote, "If I go to Jesus, he's not under my control either. He lets things happen that I don't understand. He doesn't do things according to my plan or in a way that makes sense to me. But if Jesus is God, then he's got to be great enough to have some reasons to let you go through things you can't understand. His power is unbounded, but so are his wisdom and love. He can love somebody and still let bad things happen to them because he is God, because he knows better than they do. If you have a God great enough and powerful enough to be mad at because he doesn't stop your suffering, you also have a God who's great enough and powerful enough to have reasons that you can't understand." End quote. And Elizabeth Elliot says, quote, "God is God, and since he is God, he is worthy of my worship and my service. I will find rest nowhere else but in his will, and that will is necessarily, infinitely, immeasurably, unspeakable beyond my largest notions of what he is up to." End quote. I can trust God, trust in his nature. As Mr. Beaver said, as told to C.S. Lewis, quote, "Of course he's not safe. Who said anything about being safe? But he's good. He's the king." End quote. When faced with the fiery furnace, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from the Old Testament told King Nebuchadnezzar, quote, "If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up." End quote. When Job lost all of his children and all that he owned and was himself in great physical pain, he declared, "Though he slay me, yet will I hope in him." No matter what, I will praise God and offer him my gratitude, my sacrifice of praise. God tells us over and over in his word that he has a beautiful plan for humanity and creation as a whole, and that he has a beautiful plan for each of our lives. Sometimes I doubt this promise, this truth, and then I look at Jesus, at his cross. I've been clinging to Romans 8:32. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? If God ever had to prove himself, prove his love for us, prove that he is taking care of us, he has more than proved it all through the cross. I can trust God, trust in his love. I've also been thinking a lot about Hezekiah. In 2 Kings 20, he pleaded with God to change his story, to give him more life when God had told him, through Isaiah, that he was going to die. God did change his mind that time, gave him 15 more years of life. And in that 15 extra years, Hezekiah's son Manasseh was born. This son, who wouldn't have been born if Hezekiah hadn't asked God to change the ending of his story, ended up as king and led Israel astray so that they did more evil than the nations the Lord had destroyed before the Israelites. Our desired story ending versus God's desired story ending. Perhaps, just perhaps, God really does know best. Perhaps he does know which story will bring about a beautiful, redeemed, transfigured people. When through the deep waters I call you to go, the rivers of woe shall not overflow, for I will be with you, your troubles to bless, and to sanctify to you your deepest distress. The soul that on Jesus has leaned for repose, I will not desert to its foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake. How Firm a Foundation, by John Keith.